but.
Can you text Steve? She's here. Welcome, everybody, to the first Ways and Means meeting of 2020, and welcome new members. Can you call roll, please?
Archer?
Here.
Ronk?
Here.
Bartels?
Here.
Guevara?
Present.
Haynes?
Here.
Mayo?
Here.
Walter?
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and approve the meeting minutes of December 10th, 2019, and December 18th.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. And we'll get it right into resolutions.
Call the vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, call the vote on minutes.
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. All right, Resolution 12, commencing the process to extend the additional sales tax rate of the 1% as previously authorized by Chapter 200 of the laws of 2002 for an additional period of at least 24 months.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When are the agreements with the municipalities up?
They're all expire this fiscal year.
This fiscal
in terms of the sales tax year. Yeah.
So are those negotiations going to be beginning?
I leave that to the exec and the mayor.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of beyond
it ends February 21, which is the end of the sales tax fiscal year in 2020.
And in terms of the local municipalities, is that
they're not? No, they're part of that city agreement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it'll will go through the year. Is that what you're saying?
It expires February 2021.
So February of next year.
We have to get the process.
I mean, 2020.
Yeah. No. So just to your point, Trace, had conversation. I personally have had conversations with the county executive that this is one of my priorities. Is I'd like him to involve leadership in, you know, in the discussions about the extra 1%, and you know, it's you know, agreements with the towns in the city.
It's certainly something we hear a lot.
It's always been a hot potato, you know, and you know, I think it's important that we all work together on it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Resolution 19, confirming appointment of Lisa Berger as Director of Economic Development.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 20, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to accept one-time only funding from New York State Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services for jail-based medication-assisted treatment services.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
I had a question. I wasn't at law enforcement. I didn't listen. Did this go to law enforcement?
No, it was in public.
All right. That's odd.
That is,
yeah, I was surprised.
But, all right, then. I was just going to ask, you know, if the sheriff had any idea, but he probably wasn't at the health committee, so I'll just ask him. I was just going to ask the sheriff if, you know, we were going to utilize one of, you know, the juvenile pod, which is no longer utilized for this.
Using a pod that's no longer utilized.
So the juvenile pod. All right, thank you.
Okay.
That was one of them.
Yes. And I was going to ask, which maybe no one's here to answer, but we could, through the clerks, get an answer. What medications? This agreement allows us to use any medications. What medications are we using?
I'm pretty sure it's Suboxone.
Yeah.
It could be. Or maybe also Vivitrol. But I think it's just Suboxone. We'd have to find out.
Yeah, if we could just get it.
Okay, so do you want to...
I don't know if they... I don't...
They were doing Vivitrol that I knew.
Yeah. Although with this money, I'm not positive whether it's Suboxone or Vivitrol is included.
Do you know, Mark?
I don't know exactly for this money, which is...
So maybe we could just find
okay.
out.
It's we'll not follow
it doesn't affect, it doesn't affect,
affect
my
the,
vote, but
right.
I guess I'm curious, because I've had conversations with the sheriff. That's why it's interesting it didn't go through law enforcement with the sheriff over
I mean
what medications
sheriff,
and
it was from a letter through Oasis, which is all mental health.
Mm-hmm. So, I know.
Yeah, I get where it's going. No, I get you.
In previous conversations I've had with the sheriff, he has been reluctant to use Suboxone because it's the most trafficked in, you know, drug into the prison as contraband.
But he has a whole, I mean, there's a whole protocol he has in place, including searching them, swabbing their mouths.
I understand.
He has a whole system planned to using the Suboxone. I mean, it is true that it is, but he has a...
But in a controlled, he's creating controls.
A very, very controlled environment for each person who gets treatment.
Okay, on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 21, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services, Department of Health.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 22, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to accept increased funding from New York State Office of Mental Health for a minimum wage and workforce cost of living adjustment, Department of Health.
I'll move it.
Second?
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 21, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to accept increased funding from the New York State Office of Mental Health for Gateway Community Industries. Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 24, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to accept increased funding from New York State Office of Mental Health for supported housing. Move?
I'll move it.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 27, approving the execution of a work order with the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York related to capital project number 486, window replacement project, amending capital project number 486, window replacement project for Jacob Hardenberg Hall, amending the capital fund budget.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it then.
Question, Trace?
I don't have a question. I just want to acknowledge the state of affairs that this, as I read it, is to address an active shooter situation with egress windows, and it's a sad state of affairs that this is what, it's to be in compliance with K-12 and having a child in K-12, it's just sort of a sad state of affairs that this is the reality we live in, which I just wanted to say publicly.
More likely to be an act of violence than there is a fire in a school map.
I know.
It's just a sad state of affairs.
They are expanding some programs K-12, which is why they're going along.
They're into the school.
I think it's important that we do this. I'm just acknowledging them.
It's sad.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 29, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to apply for grant funding to the New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets to develop an agricultural and farmland protection plan for Ulster County.
I'll move it.
Second?
I had a question.
Eve?
First, I was wondering what it was for, but also I was reading there's a cost share in it, a 50% cost share. And so I just wanted to make sure that was we were aware of that and know.
Dennis, would you like to?
I can address that. Yeah, there is a 50% cost share. There is money in the county planning department budget to meet that cost share. It was put in for that particular purpose.
And what is this for?
It's for the update of the county's farmland protection plan. The last time we updated it was in the 90s.
97.
So there was the update. We're eligible to update that plan. It's for that update.
Yes, Trace?
Oh, I just want to, I mean, I had a note to acknowledge that I think it's, the time has definitely come and gone, but now I'm glad it's here now, so.
John, did you have something?
Yeah, so when you go through this plan, if we get the grant, is it including the municipalities within the county? Will they be part of it?
Well, the Farmland Protection Plan by law goes through the Ag Farmland Protection Board. So they will be the first line of review. We typically form an advisory council. We would include those communities that are represented on the Farmland Protection Board. There's a representative there as well. And we generally will reach out to the communities. The biggest reach out, quite frankly, is to the farmers and to the small niche manufacturers that are engaged in farm product work.
Okay. And do you have you already put that board together?
No, the fire.
I know we have the advisory.
No, we have not.
Okay.
No, we have not.
And will you come back and share with us who you're considering?
Sure.
Great. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution number 30, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to request that the New York State Department of Transportation release jurisdiction over unused highway lands along Route 9W, Ulster Avenue in the town of Ulster, at and adjoining 1905 Ulster Avenue.
Second.
Tracy.
Does anyone know when the DOT exercised jurisdiction over this property?
What happens is, if I may...
Yes, please.
What happens is that the county, when the state roads were done back in the 30s and into the 50s, the county actually acquired the land for the state roads. So we have underlying land ownership issues, and then when the state took the roads over, they have maintenance and jurisdiction on those roads. So what ends up happening is when there's an ask for essentially abandonment because those lands are not needed for highway purposes, the jurisdiction goes back to the county, and then the county, under county law, can abandon those lands to the adjoining landowner. And we'll probably do that if this moves forward. We'd probably do that through an appraisal process.
Meaning, if I may, meaning that we'll do an appraisal, and then the adjoining landowner would pay us.
That's correct.
Have an option to purchase, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can't abandon them to anyone else. So, and the request comes from the adjoining landowner.
Okay.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 31, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for the aid to the defense program.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 32, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services, Project GIVE.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 33, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services for participation in the 2019-2020 Public Safety Answering Point PSAP Operations Grant. Move.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 34, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services of Interoperable and Emergency Communications for the 2019 Statewide Interoperable Communication Grant, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 35, amending capital project number 42, countywide radio system.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No question.
Did you have a question, John?
Yeah, so related to both these. So this system that we're purchasing under 35
goes with 33.
So it will be part of. Okay, that's what I just want to make sure. Thank you.
Okay, we did vote on that, right? 35? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 38, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for participation in the Crimes Against Revenue Program.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
Question, Trace?
Do we get updated reports on the efficacy of these grants or what we're actually doing with them in terms of Medicaid fraud and et cetera?
On this particular one from the DA, I mean, my guess is that in the past you have not.
So I had asked at our meeting that they start providing whenever it's possible the data that they have to already report.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the middle of creating kind of a spreadsheet for law enforcement that has each of these and what kind of data sets there will be. that, and then reminding them, as we reminded them in the meeting, that we're going to be regularly asking for it.
That would be great, because I think this is an ongoing grant, but I don't know that we've ever really gotten any feedback.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of those.
Or even understand how much was saved, how much money was identified in the process.
Right.
What's the value? Obviously, there's value. Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't continue to get it funded.
Right.
But we don't even know the magnitude.
Right.
And on that point, I mean, I think that the information is exceptionally valuable in order to be able to understand whether or not we should be investing even more to this end on any given subject. So,
right. And they're already producing it for some other funder, so there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to see it.
Thank you for doing that.
And I think you're going to see in the next resolution why it would be important to get this data going and decide whether it's something that you want to continue on regardless of what happened.
Because of the personnel commitment.
Yeah, I mean, we can skip to that next one, but I think it would be a good idea to get as much data. I think CARP goes through different entities too, so, you know, where we need to get it from DSS, and also, I believe the sheriff gets CARP. We can send along that data as well.
That's great.
So it would be great if we could do that for a lot of these programs. Almost every program where we're getting state funding has requirements and built-in performance measures for these programs, which I know they're being done, but that we never get to see them. So is there any way we can create a process whereby if you're submitting to state quarterly or at the end of the program or however it is required, that those stats get sent to the standing committee and that gets shared and discussed at the committee level?
We did talk about this in law enforcement with Legislator Walter, but yeah, I mean, we could put something in place where when this we send reports, we can also send it to the clerk and make other communications.
And that gets disseminated. So can we do that going forward for all of those programs?
Yeah, where we have data that we're providing.
You're providing. Do you need anything from us, or that will just start happening? I just want to be clear.
When I finish the document, I'll share it with you and the other chairs, and so what you'll see is there'll be space for the data, and it'll be empty until there's something there. So it'll allow us to be alerted to when it's missing, and so whether it's, you know, 6 months or at some other future meeting, you say, you know, if this is missing in here, when are we filling that square in?
And
so, and again, we can't control also data from the other elected officials where those, so that would have to be a request made.
Well, where your departments, under your purview, it would be great if you could provide that going forward, and then we'll address it with the other. Yes, Heidi.
And in the best interest of the body here at this table, at the very least, if information is going to be gathered, I would prefer it to be shared.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Mark?
Chairwoman, we'd love to be included on that if it's coming to the standing committee.
Okay. All right. Did we vote on this? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Okay, which one am I on now?
39,
thank you. Resolution 39, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for the Burn JAG interest grant.
So, did we find out?
Let's move it. Who moved it?
I'll move it.
Sorry, okay, second?
Okay.
Now.
So there was the issue that came up that the funding had stopped for this, but then the understanding was that it was good through 2020. Is that correct?
February.
February.
Just then,
that's
what this resolution is when the grant expires February 28th, 2020.
This was that weird one.
Right, but then when I spoke to the DA the next day, he said that he spoke to that it was confirmed that it was good for the rest of this year. So that's not correct.
The only information I have is that it ended February 28th, 2020.
And were there FTs attached to this?
It was very confusing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead, Trace.
So if the funding, and this kind of, for me, this goes back to why we need the information, because the resolution itself states that if the funding's eliminated, the program's eliminated, which would then follow that the jobs are eliminated. But to me, that's that fails to address whether or not the program is actually serving its function. Because if we had the information about whether or not it was a worthy program, then we could make an informed decision about whether or not we wanted to keep the funding.
Right.
But in the absence of information, we're passing a resolution that says in a week and a half, is over, correct?
In terms of the funding for this, it's supplemented salaries. I hate to say it wasn't directly, we didn't create positions as a result of this grant.
But right in the resolved, it says if the funding for this program is eliminated.
Right, the program is, not the people.
So
that's
what I'm saying is
they'll be reassigned to other work.
Right, that's where
it's kind of a technical.
I'd have to go back because in terms of there weren't positions created for this grant. Okay. This supplemented their salaries.
Hmm? But to Tracy's point, I'm sorry.
I understand what you're saying.
I anecdotally believe that this is probably a really good program. I can't say I have the data to support it. And I did ask the DA to. And I will follow up on getting the data. It is actually pretty accessible, how many people have been served, victims and accused. It's a pretty innovative program. It was developed by John Jay. I think it's worth us knowing it's some sense of its efficacy, because even though those people may stay, I find it kind of heartbreaking, the thought that this program might actually end if it is really doing a good job, and it very well might be. I don't know if it is, but it might be.
Do we want to postpone till you get more information? We could postpone it till next week.
Well,
I don't think we can.
I think this is accepting.
Go ahead.
This is just accepting it through February.
This is the grant for 19 through 2020.
It's already done.
Well, I guess the issue is the fact that when we accept it, it says that the program is over then.
I mean, that's language that's in.
Can we confirm that? Confirm that with Dave.
Several years ago, I want to say it was probably what, Trace, like 6 years ago, we started making that boilerplate in all resolutions accepting grants, because there was a concern about ballooning the government, and then the funding is gone, and we still have a
ballooning
government.
Right, it makes perfect sense, but I guess I wonder in this particular case if there's a way to accept the money through 2019 or now without necessarily determining that the program has to end.
Go ahead, Mark.
I mean, somebody could make an amendment to strike a piece of this last resolve for this particular that just says it could be or it not, you know, so that it doesn't say that it is eliminated. I think the DA came to law enforcement and thought that the possibility that this funding could be restored, this is one of those
That you re-up every year.
Well, this is one of those programs that the federal government has said to New York, because we will not provide documentation to ICE, that they are not providing this funding.
Yeah.
So,
to New York in general.
If the federal government says to New York in general that they back away from that, the funding could be restored.
Trey.
On the program, which, I mean, it's a question for the DA, I suppose, but on the description of the program in the backup to the resolution, it also says, which I had a question regarding, that the focused deterrence efforts are for the city of Kingston. And I was curious in terms of backup on that, why they were just focusing on Kingston-centric in terms of if it is intimate partner violence interruption, which is what it says, versus countywide, why the focus was on one municipality. I know no one's here that can answer.
My understanding is just because it requires a relationship with the police precinct, and the Kingston Police Precinct agreed to do it.
I had that same question.
Mm-hmm. I think that if you asked do they only want to focus in Kingston, I think they would say no. They would prefer to have it countywide. But, you know, sometimes with these relationships, it's who wants to play.
Right.
And I believe that's who was willing to play, plus they saw a larger percentage
the
of
parameters
people.
Of the funding the best with Tinty you know, the demographics of the area.
Interventions, too.
Yeah, I thought the same question. I didn't verbally ask it, but I thought the same thing. I was curious.
I mean, then we're back to the same issue of recognizing the value of the program in its own right and whether or not it should be just focused in Kingston. I mean, again, if we're talking about it in relation to a grant, that's one thing. In terms of achieving, realizing the grant. But if we're talking about it in terms of realizing an effect, and the value of the effect, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to have that conversation, and we have to have the information. And Ken's right. I mean, a number of years ago, we started to put this language into resolutions, and we continue to have the conversation with great concern about sunsetting things that aren't funded. But at the same time, I don't feel like it should be empty language that becomes technical. That's like,
right.
Okay, well, it doesn't. It's not really the program; it's the person. We should be analyzing the value of these programs, because funding flows do stop, and it may be valuable to keep things, but it also may be valuable to, we may have to make difficult decisions and remove things.
But
it's tough to, I'm sorry, it's tough to do if you don't have the data that gives you any insight into the success of the program, what's worked, what hasn't, et cetera.
I mean, I think that, you know, what Mark said is valid, though, that, you know, if we, as we're going through these programs and as we get the data, I think it's better to keep the language in these resolutions when they're drafted, and then have the opportunity to take it out on programs that we that we would rather not end. So that's where.
But
I'm
how do we take it out of a program right now that we're not sure we're gonna what's the impact is? I mean,
I understand. I understand the dilemma.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, Mark brings up the point of using the word could or should, and I guess I would. I'm trying to find it, but make the motion that instead of will, it might be a could or a should.
So then, just for a procedural perspective, then how do we follow up and ensure that there's a conversation about this specific program that then says, here's what it means from a headcount or staffing or additional monies, and you know, so if we're going to do that, I think then it has to create a follow-up to that.
I go back to what Tracy had said, though, that, you know, it almost, you know, could or should, it almost makes it hollow language, because then, you know, it's not, we're almost bypassing our legislative authority to decide whether or not it's going to be ended. At that point, we kick it to the executive or the department heads.
Trace.
So are these positions budgeted, fully budgeted with money for the whole year?
They're budgeted through the whole year.
Okay.
But
this year?
I think we had this discussion. I wouldn't know this grant would have expired on the budget process.
Right.
So does that conceivably mean that if the people are budgeted,
the expenses are budgeted,
the process can still continue for another year?
Right.
It just isn't necessarily called this program.
We wouldn't receive revenue to offset those expenses.
Well,
there's no further revenue other than these people.
Trace.
I mean, but again, I feel like we're having a really technical conversation, because in the backup to this resolution, it also says that the positions were created for this program. So
yeah, we're looking at the
yeah. So that's
what,
like,
that's what Dave had said. I was here sitting in and listening to that meeting, and he did say that he didn't want these people to go away because they're good workers. That he said that as part of the discussion. Yeah. So to say that they weren't created for this, he made it sound like they were. Now, he may have misspoke, too, but he made it sound like that.
Yeah, but my thing is that this isn't supplementing three positions for $144,000.
Right.
It's supplementing.
Two half positions is the way you described it.
Mark?
Well, it says
there are other intimate partner violence. I mean, I think you just approved one grant that was an intimate partner violence grant. So there are, this program lives through various different funding sources, I believe, as well, and so that's kind of one thing that Bert is saying. This grant helps supplement some of those
administrative.
What, the family one for accused offenders? You're talking about that family.
There's other ones that, I mean,
they don't have much revenue.
That aren't before us right now.
They may not be before you
right
now. There are other grants.
Right.
Yeah. As far as I know, this is the only one specifically through the district attorney's office, as opposed to family.
Well, what I guess I would recommend then, since they're also funded through the end of the year, so from a budgetary perspective, we are funding the folks, that we'll create a reminder that goes back to the committee for discussion about the program and getting more insight. I mean, part of that is Dave coming up to speed, too, on, you know, what values the programs have or have not, but John?
But it's not funded through the end of the year in terms of because you are now missing the revenue component.
Well, it just means you're not going to get reimbursed or there's so not going to start
gonna
be, a new
but
grant.
It's going to deficit the budget. You're going to have a deficit there.
It's already
you don't
in
have
the
revenue.
Budget.
No, it's put
no,
in
the
budget.
Revenue.
The revenue part. So it's not going
to
balance
it. No, that's right.
So you're
going to
be, you'll be deficit on that because you don't have the income from the state or federal to offset it. I mean, is there a reason why this can't be pushed to next week's meeting to hopefully get the information between now and then to us?
No, there's no reason that
I mean,
okay.
I will make it my duty to
I don't feel comfortable with this until we know.
I make a motion that we postpone this until next week, pending some more clarity on not only the efficacy, but also the budget.
Okay, do I have a second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
For postponement, thank you. Resolution 40, amending capital project number 519, Ulster County Law Enforcement Center, energy upgrades, amending the 2020 capital fund budget.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 42, establishing the capital project number...
Oh, wait, can we...
Oh, yeah,
I have
yep.
a question on that
yep.
one. Sorry.
That's all right.
My notes. So, this is $108,000 to connect... the gas line, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's hard for me to get through this. But my question is on this contingency. When we have a bid, and this went out to bid, and the bidder bid contingency, and then we're now putting contingency on top of their contingency. So that seems to me over the top. Is this a new policy? Is this something we always do, where we put 10% on top of the 10% that they put on?
It depends on the contractor. In a lot of cases, there's allowances built on top of contracts, so they can do field change orders out of, and then we have different change orders we can do in case we come across something that wasn't exactly planned in the contract itself.
But that's what
a contingency is.
Right.
I feel like putting a contingency on top of a contingency that's in the bid is problematic to me.
So, I mean, we would have to require a higher allowance within the bid as opposed to doing this. I mean, maybe we wouldn't do 20%, but we certainly wouldn't do 10 on these kind of projects. And if there's projects where there's multiple contractors, having an overall project contingency which can be moved between contracts is helpful as opposed to inside the...
Is this a new process?
Are you saying you always have done this?
Yes.
Maybe it's just the way it's reflected here. So it's a So there's a 10% allowance on the actual bid, which was 87, and now we're putting another 10% on the 97.
Yeah.
So it's even more than 20% contingency when you look at it that way. Yep.
So just think of it from a strategic standpoint, and basically saying that within your individual contract, whether it's a GC contract or an HVAC contract, there's a percentage of that contract that essentially is allowance. All right. The county steps back from that and says overall the project has a contingency besides those allowances. From a strategic standpoint, you don't want to give contractors high allowances because they have a tendency to spend them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you try to keep your allowances to a minimum with the idea that you think there's some things you may not know specifically in terms of the budget. And I'll give you an example, cut and fill, or in the case of the fire training center, how far the piers are going to go down.
Right.
So there's an allowance for those kinds of elements in the GC contract, but behind that there's a contingency allowance. There's a contingency for the whole project.
Which is more unknown.
Yeah, and it's strategic because you don't really want to hand a contractor a very large allowance because they have a tendency to think that they can spend it.
But why wouldn't you know those things? Because I
you can't basically
there can be a
do enough.
Scope in the
yeah.
field.
Okay, so I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around some things. Of course, there's possible something that is you could not have foreseen. But how far footings go down? You do a test drill. You know how far.
Well, I'll give you the exact example. We did 12 holes with respect to the fire training center. They varied from 9 feet to 40 feet. I got to do 21 piers. They could vary. I don't know where that variance takes place.
So wouldn't it be in the bid then to go worst case scenario?
That's what we did. But we don't want that also. Right, yeah. So we allow for an allowance because we don't want the low bidder to go worst case scenario and drive our bids way up. Yeah.
We would rather have the ability to have a contingency that we can or cannot spend, as opposed to they're going to just spend if they throw money.
Is the contingency open-ended, or is it specific to for this example there? Is there a contingency for just footings? Or is it contingency That's for the entire project?
Typically an allowance. There may be an allowance for just footings, which would go into the actual bid. The contingency is overall project, and that's not even attached to any particular contractor's contract. Mm-hmm. It's an overall project contingency.
Trace?
But in this case, we're talking about one contractor. We're not talking about a GC with multiple things. We're talking about one bid, one contractor, and then we're talking about a contingency on top of that contractor's allowance, which is more than 10%. I haven't figured it out, but it's more than 10%. This isn't like the jail project with multiple contractors. This is a contingency on top of the contingency for one. Am I correct? For one contractor.
Yeah. I mean, all I can say is that we've typically completed projects without using up contingency.
I mean, to give you an example, the same example Dennis was giving you, the piers at the public safety training centers, we had a deduct in our favor so far, $65,000, based off of that. But that money was there in case we had to drill 40 feet on every one. And something like this, it may be as simple as the valve they're considering in their plans might be the wrong valve, and there might be an upcharge.
But they should know that ahead of time.
Not, it really isn't that simple. It could be code changes. Right. It could be the amount of rock in an excavation is estimated at X, the unsuitable material is estimated at Y, and it's $50 or $60 a cubic yard, and and you're not within those estimates. It really is that complicated. And it goes back to the history of construction projects that you have throughout the county that we've done over the years.
Strive, when we found the asbestos in the walls, when we opened up the walls.
Paint chips that come back.
Rock.
We had $125,000 worth of rock removal. We estimated less than that. And we did geotech on the site. It wasn't like we didn't do our homework. We did geotech on the site.
Okay, on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 42, establishing a capital project number 556, relocation of various departments.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Trace?
So this resolution is worded in such a way that it caused me to ask a lot of questions. The whereas, as it says, we desire to move several large county departments to various underutilized space. So I'm curious what other large county departments we're talking about moving and what are various underutilized spaces. And then my follow-on question is, this is primarily a furniture purchase. So do we have a breakdown? Why is the furniture purchase so expensive? I mean, it's the far and away bulk of this budget.
I mean, the furniture is actually all of the workstations and space for the entire IS department, which is going from a building of about 3,000 square feet to an area of about 1,500 square feet or 12 to 1,500. So it's not like we're buying chairs and desks, we're buying the workstations that go along with it. We put in a capital plan for $3 million overall for various department moves. Mm-hmm. Currently, we've moved safety to the BRC, we've moved insurance to the BRC, we've moved economic development to the BRC, mostly done out of operations money because it's mostly Bob Buser taking DPW staff and putting up walls, etc. Mm-hmm. So we have not had to use much of the capital funds. We moved stock DUI to the BRC. This is mainly this capital project is for this amount, the 165 is mostly to move IS out of the current location and into the BRC. After that, there's not going to be a lot of empty space at the Business Resource Center. However, we still have operations up at the old jail that, you know, at some point we're talking about doing something else with. So potentially we could be moving Board of Elections machine techs out of the old jail area. We have a DPW warehouse, essentially, that may need to be moved. Surrogate court potentially could be one that would need to move out of this building. Public defender, Board of Elections.
Think about that too.
Just to answer your question on what could potentially be moved.
So do you have an overall plan of, you know, you say obviously 3 million, various departments, 1.5 million this year, 1.5 million next year. Potential rent savings as a result of some property. It would be great to have a general understanding of a capital projects of this significance before we start to set this and bond for it and understand what your overall plan is. Ken?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I felt the same kind of vagueness, and it also it helps. Like you just described, I looked at the map and I assumed all of those were moving. I didn't realize that most of them had already moved. So to really have a sense of what's already been done, what's still being done, because, you know, construction, HVAC, if that's in this location that already has all these offices there, or is that in another location? Because I wouldn't imagine if all those offices are in place, how much construction is in that particular, you know, there's
in
only
the
one
IS.
Map. There's only one map that you provided that we're going by that now it sounds like, you know, two-thirds of it is actually already full of offices.
Some of it. I mean, so where the IS space is going, we took various different smaller offices, opened it up. It's essentially one large workspace, and then there's another space that is going to be a build room, a conference kind of training center, and a server room. But beyond that, it's...
Right. I guess I'm saying that the detail of what's there, what's going there, how these different budgetary items relate to this particular move versus a move that already occurred or a move that might happen in the future would be useful. Because it doesn't sound like all of this is just to move IS into that space.
Ken, did you have a question?
I mean, I was just going to say that, you know, I would be more comfortable if we had a better breakdown of where the $165,000 is going, because what I heard was that most of it is going to go towards the IS move. I would...
All of it.
All
the $165,000 is going to the IS move.
All right.
Sorry.
No, it's... I
might have misspoke,
it,
but...
It, and it may, I may have misheard. You know, I would just... Again, I would really like to see, you know, kind of an overall plan for what's going where, because this is kind of like Tetris. If we're moving something, it's probably because we're moving something in another place.
Right.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, I also would feel a little more comfortable with understanding the big plan and understanding even how these numbers are arrived at. Like I said, $100,000 for furniture might be perfectly reasonable, but I don't really know what it's based on. I also want to just say again publicly that in terms of the moves, you mentioned a lot, and I'm glad to hear it, and it'll be good to have a deeper conversation about it, but I'm very, very concerned about Board of Elections, and I'm assuming that there are conversations about where that's going to go, and maybe that connects with the possibility of moving surrogate court, but I think it's something that... we need to be thinking about and moving toward at the front end of this year, because when does, do you know if
it's already, so just to discuss that and then let me jump back to the
plan
on the BRC. We've already been in contact with the current landlord of the building after the purchase was done with Ulster Savings, and they have no intention of forcing the Board of Elections out of that space, and that space works well. So, I mean, for now, that's sort of something that no longer has to be on the front burner, because at one point we were concerned, you know, Ulster Savings Bank told us that they didn't want to extend the lease.
Right.
It was because they were selling the building. Now that they've sold the building and we've contacted the new landlords, they would like us to stay long term.
At the same
time. Because it's expensive.
Yeah. I mean, I think we need to. So that's good, because it gives us a buffer. But I hate for us to agree to another long term lease at a very high rate when we have various underutilized spaces, and there we could potentially find a space that makes sense, potentially even in this building, And I don't know how that's going to happen, but I just think it should be high on
the building utilization study from 2007.
And then, as far as the BRC, which is, you know, all of this capital project establishes the money for, which is moving IS to the BRC, this would essentially fill up the usable space over at the BRC. So as far as plans go, we're moving IS and much of the work in-house has already been done in-house, demoing and putting up essentially drywall and other, you know, making sure that the HVAC works, etc. Again, this is for the furniture that's needed for the offices. There may be a couple other things in there besides furniture. I don't know.
It's mostly workstation. The HVAC work is ideally because the IS has their towers. It's in addition to the server room itself. The workers are going to need it. I'm sorry, I'm looking over your shoulder there.
It's okay. Do you have an estimate of the furniture? I mean, what
it's also
what
materials,
makes it
so drywall, it's everything, materials and furniture. This is just not the work performed.
Right. A lot of this is just budget for materials for our in-house labor to do the work so we can see the savings. If we contracted this out, I would expect this to be double what we're looking at.
Well, most of it's furniture.
Legislative run.
I almost think that we should amend the resolution to read, you know, for the relocation of the information services department, because it says for various county departments, and it's not. I think that we should hold off on this until next week.
Yeah, I agree. Let's hold off on this.
So, do I have a motion to postpone?
Unless you wanted to say another thing.
I was going to add one more piece to it. So I think it not only the specificity of saying this is just to move IS and this is what it's going to entail, is I agree completely, but also it goes back to that looking for data to see goals and objectives, like to have the larger picture of where you're going and, you know, and how much you've achieved towards that. That's a data piece that would also help us with even just the move of IS. So I think that part too. And with that, I would second it.
is the IS department open to the public, or is it just a department for the county?
It's a department for the county.
So the
I
public,
mean, there's some,
so the
sometimes they report. Will assist towns and other things.
But the public doesn't go to their office, typically?
No.
Yeah. Okay, so does the county typically purchase furniture for a department brand new when they go to replace it, and it's not dependent on whether they're visible or not visible? Let me tell you where I'm coming from. So from the hospital, our policy is a department that's visible to the public gets a 2-to-1 replacement. They will get furniture replaced twice as much as a department that is not a public department. The department that is behind the wall will get a furniture, basically a hand-me-down, for two cycles before they get new. I don't know if there's a facelift in here that needs more new furniture and can be recycled down to the IS department instead, because there's plenty of departments here that are visible, if not all of them are visible to the public and could probably use some modernization, but
sure.
I'm just throwing that out.
If I could just make one point. So most of the departments in this building have separate offices. This is basically relocating the entire department of, I think, 25 to 28 people into essentially a large workspace. They're going to have cubicle-type workstations, and they're going from a building that's almost 3 times the square foot where they each have an office. There's a lot of efficiencies in doing this move. The reason that the capital project is established for various buildings is because in the 5-year capital plan, there is a $3 million capital program fund for moving various buildings, as opposed to just moving IS as a program fund. So that's why it's phrased this way. You're only establishing this capital project for the IS move, and if we have to spend funds elsewhere, we would have to come back to you to program it for other funds.
Right, but this says establishing capital project number 556, relocation of various departments.
Because that's how it is.
I understand that that's how it is in the $3 million, but the capital project that we are setting is not for $3 million, it's for $165,000 for the purpose of moving information services.
I would say think of it like phase one of that capital.
Well, which goes back to the, I'm, and this is all great conversation, but it goes back to the, this is the first year that it is in the plan. It requires more than a conversation. You're taking one piece of it out and saying this is what we're going to spend, and what we've asked for is, I think it's an opportunity to have a conversation, a bigger conversation about what's in this $3 million, and then what departments are you looking at? Ken?
May I just, and this will be the last comment I'll make because we're obviously postponing it, but until next week. But, you know, so you're saying think of it as phase one. Mark's saying that it's about the bigger plan. So is it your intention to establish a new capital project for each move, or are we going to be amending this to add money each time?
We would be amending this one for the other department moves.
Which goes back to the point, let's have a bigger conversation.
Exactly.
So I heard a motion to postpone.
And there was a second.
Second, okay, all in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Resolution, thank you. Resolution 44, establishing a capital project number 558, card readers for substation, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Any conversation? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 46, establishing capital project number 559, bridge flag response, Department of Public Works. Move?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Tracy?
So this one is creating a capital project to deal with emergencies, correct?
Yes.
That's, have we ever done this before?
No, this one's
brand new. Right, so, yeah. I mean, I appreciate that it's in the capital program, but a lot of things are in the capital program. And it just gives me concern. I feel like we should have in our budget money to deal with emergencies. Creating a capital program to deal with emergencies as a new policy is something that's at least at the very moment giving me pause.
Well, at least begs a conversation. Mark?
So some of these are emergencies. Most of these are yellow flags. Yes. So it's a capital program or a capital project to deal with when the state comes out with our flags. Typically every year we have one or two red flags, two or three yellow flags. This gives us the ability to fix those
in a timely manner. So we don't have to come request funding, because we may not necessarily have the money fixed in our operating budget, like you're saying, to go through those fixes immediately, and it becomes a public safety concern for us.
Are you saying that up until right now we've been unable to do that?
We have some operating funds, but we find that it usually doesn't go as far as we need to, and we need to take money from other places in order to fund it.
So, Ken?
Can we get a list of current red yellow flags?
I talked to engineering, but yeah.
You know, we have engineers, correct? Can we anticipate where the issues are? So we don't review, we don't inspect our bridges. We have, because we've had a lot of work over the last several years on improving a lot of our bridges. I know we have, 157 is the number here. So my question is, we have no sense of where we may have some issues?
If I may,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. The state does bridge inspections for the counties and local governments and the state bridges. They're and they'll come back on red flag bridges, and I think they expect every year. Other than that, they expect on a two-year or three-year horizon, they come back and do the inspections.
Mm-hmm.
When we reviewed the capital project, we asked the same questions that the legislature was doing when the county planning department reviewed the capital project, and we're looking at a history of what they've spent out of the operating budget in the past. These are really capital expenditures. They probably shouldn't have been in the operating budget in the past, so moving them into the capital budget was appropriate thing to do, and that's what the executive office decided to do. So we do have a history of expenditures. I don't think we have a history of telling you what bridges are going to come under a flag system, but we do have a history of expenditures with respect to what's happened in the past. You can pretty much look at yellow flag work to red flag work, that you can look at those bridges and say if they're yellow flag, they're not likely to improve over time unless mm-hmm. we do work on them. And the red flag stuff you have to fix. It's not a question of whether we're going to fix them. You have to fix them, and if you don't fix them, then what ends up happening, you risk that the state only gives you a certain amount of time to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of having money mm-hmm. available in a capital project that's established so they can go out and spend it is something that's actually positively needed for the Department of Public Works.
When did the is it an ongoing inspection?
And yeah, they, so they it roll can happen. Okay. Yeah.
Is there a way to estimate what the red flag improvements were in 2019?
That's what I think what they did.
Can we see that?
I think that's what they did is they looked at what they had spent in the past and they based it. I think it's actually, if you read the capital program, I think it actually says that.
Yeah, it says there were 7 yellow and
right.
2 red, but right. it doesn't say
it doesn't
what was
say the
expended
amount, but I think
and
what
it doesn't
did.
Say what's it been like for the last 3 years. What are we spending? How many bridges over the last 3 years?
Engineering typically has an operating budget line of about 60,000, but I'll tell you, last year we came up well shy of what we needed. We had to take money out of stockpile on highway just to fund some of the repairs we needed on bridges.
Well, last year you also had the really big red flag down in Shangum on the bridge over the Shangum Kill, right. And that took a lot of...
Yeah. Yeah. And you just don't know when those come up,
and
so they...
Yeah, it depends on the repair, how much it's going to cost.
John?
So for the most part, I think, on average, a bridge doesn't go from, I don't know, I'm assuming it's green, to red. It probably, most of the time, hits a yellow mark first, and then it'll go to red. We don't have currently and can't create a plan that when something is yellow, that somebody evaluates what it needs to be put back to a green, and then they can either A, come to us here to get a capital project together for that specific bridge, or B, then start planning for replacement completely of that bridge, because the cost of repair is far exceeds what a new one would cost us.
Our in-house engineers do that to an extent. Our DPW bridge program, which is also on the agenda tonight, that goes through when they do their in-house inspections and they review and say this one needs to be replaced or repaired now or soon within the next 5 years.
And based on how many yellow flags they may have gotten over the years, which means you have a good sense of, going back to my initial question, you know, what's the condition of our current status of bridges? Which ones have been repaired? What's on the, quickly? Again, it's more information to really understand what, because this is a new item,
mm-hmm.
a new way of looking at it. I'm not disagreeing. It shouldn't be part of a capital plan, but first time seeing it without a lot of backup. Tracy?
I'd like to make a suggestion that we hold this one to next week, and that in the interim we get Ken's request on what's currently yellow and red flagged, and maybe at least a look back over the last couple of years of the numbers of red and yellow flags, and the specific breakdown from the budget of what went to those flags.
With the location, because it's finite,
yeah.
It's only
mm-hmm.
158, so it would be...
By bridge name.
Yeah.
And also, okay. Do we have a copy of the TIP? I mean...
Well, it's online.
Yeah, I just didn't know if we had a copy in the legislature. I was sort of wondering out loud.
Yeah.
Transportation Improvement Program.
Yeah.
Is that... That's accurate. It's
So are you making
almost like a triage.
Yeah.
Of,
so on the...
Work.
On the recommendation for postponement, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And you'll be able to get us that done, that info for next week?
Yeah, I'm
going to
try.
Great. Absolutely. Thanks. Resolution 48, amending the 2020-2025 Capital Improvement Program, establishing Capital Project 560. DPW Large Culvert Inspection, amending the 2020 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Tracy?
So, what were we doing? Who was doing the culvert analysis prior to this project?
It gets done every few years. This just happens to be, I guess. We were contracting out. It was contracted before. We didn't do the bonus.
We did contract out previously?
Yes.
And Southeast Plumbing is the... Because here it says UCLEC, large culvert.
This is Tig and Bond.
Yeah, it's Ty and Bond.
Ty and Bond, Resolution 48.
I think it was labeled properly.
Well, I'm looking at Resolution 48. It says UCLEC Southeast Plumbing Contract.
Yep.
Sorry, that is incorrect. It's not that one.
Okay, so...
Tie and Bond has a contract with 40... It's probably the right dollar amount. I may have mistaken. Sorry if I...
It's okay. Remember. It says, yeah, 48,000 is the right number?
Southeast is the gas line.
Yeah.
Okay, so 48,000... No, that's okay, Southeast. And this went out to bid?
Mm. Yes.
And you're saying that we did it a few years ago. So it's a standard procedure. Okay. That answers my question.
Can you just do me a favor? I missed it, and it was in my notes. On resolution 44, the card readers, it says installation and equipment for 10 substations. The numbers don't add up. I come up with a lesser number than what you have in there. So can you just double check the numbers on that one, please? Thank you. All right. Resolution 50. Oh, wait, did we? We didn't vote on that. Okay, so any more questions on the culvert? Let me just see if I have any. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 50, establishing capital project number 561, 2020 DPW bridge program, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Any conversation? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 52, amending the 2020-2025 capital improvement program, establishing capital project 562, various embankment repairs. Amending the 2020 capital fund budget.
I'll move it.
Second? And this is new, this one? This is the one you were just mentioning, Don?
No, this one is, the one I was mentioning before was the DPW bridge program. This one is due to weather conditions we didn't see over the winter, making certain slopes not safe.
So this is a brand new program?
Yeah, what we're doing is purchasing sheeting material and using in-house labor in order to stabilize slopes at a cheaper cost than it would be.
Okay, do we have a list of where these embankment issues are?
Yeah. They're in there.
They're in there? Did I miss them?
County Route 54 in Hardenburg and 49 in Hardenburg.
Okay, great. All in favor?
I have...
I'm sorry.
And this is just a request to DPW. The town of Shangum is... I'm sure that they're going to speak to you. The town of Shangum's dealing with a slope stabilization problem, and they talked about the steel sheathing, and I was just wondering if you could talk to them about some sort of shared services. If you guys are doing this in two other places, it might behoove the town to be able to work with you on the one that they're looking at. Mm-hmm. It's on Stein Road. Thank you. Yep.
Okay. All in favor on this resolution?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 54, establishing capital project number 563, pavement preservation of various roads, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? And do we have the list of roads for here?
No, they should be in the back.
They are in the back. Okay, great. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 56, authorizing the chair of Ulster County Legislature to execute a payment in lieu of taxes agreement with Marlboro Solar, LLC, for the solar energy systems pursuant to real property tax law, section 487.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Ken?
Stupid question.
Sure.
When these pilots are coming to us, has the town already agreed to it if they haven't opted out?
This one was agreed to by the town and the school district before it got to me.
Okay.
Normally they contact me and we work together.
Okay.
But this was agreed to prior.
So the reason I asked is because it was a question that came up at our last town board meeting in Shangum.
Normally the town
got one there.
Call and we'll work together to come up with an amount.
Okay.
This was within our range that we've used before.
Okay.
So, yeah.
They signed it. I looked for that specifically saw that they had signed it off.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 57, authorizing the Commissioner of Finance to sell real property acquired by court order pursuant to Article 11 of the real property tax law.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Yes.
So a couple of things. So one is, and this relates to 58 as well, of the capacity to have the addresses of these.
It's in the OneDrive.
Oh, it is in the OneDrive.
Yeah.
On that list, just a caution, there's probably 700 to 800 parcels. By the time we go to auction, we're talking 150.
Okay. And do you, is it mapped? Or is it listed?
It's the listing of properties. We'll provide what's eligible for the auction. We'll provide the maps when they're eligible.
Okay, and then the second question, sorry, is do you, and just this is my ignorance, do you specify certain criteria when auctioning this off, like if they're going to put affordable housing or, you know, do we have a criteria?
No.
Have you ever discussed the idea of creating criteria of who should be getting these parcels?
No.
Okay.
And one question I have is, had we ever thought of outsourcing this to a company for the auction?
We have, and the companies want a, we have this period where we'll take title and the owners will buy back the properties from the county. They want a surcharge on top of that. And I just think that's unfair to the taxpayers.
Can you explain that?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, say, for instance, you know, we'll go have the title March 15th or so. And they have the Friday before auction to buy back from the county for the back taxes.
Right.
What the companies do is charge a 10% on the assessment of, let's say you have $100,000 out, they'll charge another 10% to buy it back from the county. You have people trying to save their homes.
The taxpayer.
No,
I understand that. Yeah. I mean, I was
That's
aware
how the company
of,
makes their money.
Well, they make their money on marketing and the sale of the properties.
They don't receive any proceeds from the county.
They receive it from the buyer.
Right, or the taxpayer, who's trying to buy it back from us. Right.
So, but I've heard...
And we do a good job, so
if we can get a contract whereby they don't, during that period, if the homeowner buys it back, because...
Nah, if that was their hiccup with us. They would,
okay.
They came to me and said, we'll lower the 10%. I don't want to charge the taxpayers anymore.
Tracy, and then...
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't make sense to me, because when the taxpayer buys it back, they're not buying it at auction, so the auction house hasn't auctioned it.
But those are eligible for auction, and that's in their mind. That's why we don't do it.
Okay. I mean, I would suggest at the least finding out if, once again...
I guess my question is, why would you go there if we're doing a job? My office works hard to get there.
There is a policy.
These people actually go in their homes.
I mean, these are...
The show people this. I mean, which is illegal. As far as I'm concerned,
what are you saying?
They go in to show people these homes. They're trespassing on property.
Technically, county-owned property.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
We looked at the building.
And then her.
Happy with that.
Just to return to the point that Bert said, I think, and put it, kind of an exclamation point on it. If the finance office is able to do it in-house and they're doing it well, why charge either the buyers or these sellers more money on the outset if it's not going to improve the service?
We'll have bidders go away, I'll be honest with you, if we're charging them a charge to buy stuff.
It's probably hard enough for them to buy it.
Correct.
Okay. Herb?
I was just going to say there are companies that do not do that.
Yeah.
I know of at least a couple. I bought some property last year and there was no surcharge, for the property.
But I know there's one that does a lot of kind. It's a surcharge.
Yeah, most of the couple that I spoke to, they do. anywhere from 6 to 10% they charge of the assessed value of the home. So I was just curious.
Yeah. All right, 6 to 10% of the sale to the buyer.
That's the buyer, value. But it's assessed value too.
Yeah,
they fluctuate.
Okay, on resolution 57, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
You're going to abstain. Yeah. Okay. And the abstention?
I typically bid on properties. I don't want to have any... I don't know if it's a conflict, but...
I don't think so.
In the past, we've said no, but I mean, abstentions.
Yeah, I think the resolution is authorizing me to sell the properties, not to whom, because the properties will come to you if who auctions. Just my own.
I defer to the experience in the room. I just want to be open up front of my reason why, because I typically do bid on properties at the auction. So
you can abstain here in committee, though, and then make a final decision for the floor as well.
Okay. Trace?
I just wanted to get back to Eve's question about... do we put stipulations? While we haven't put stipulations in terms of when someone's going to bid, it's going to bid, but we have long discussed codifying a policy whereby we look at properties is something I'd like to do this year prior to them getting to bid, so that we're analyzing properties for their highest and best value, whether it be for public parks or for housing, or if it has a value, we speak with the municipalities, and often properties will get pulled because a municipality expresses an interest or a useful need for that property. So that's already happening, but I think it's important that we actually codify it. And something
and then
I'd like to
add that second element where if we feel it'd be a very good place for affordable housing, for example, that we then encourage those bids.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that we could. That's something we'd have to talk about.
Sell it to the highest bidder.
Yeah, I think you have to sell it to the highest bidder.
Article 11,
I think once it goes to bid, it goes to bid. Yeah. But certainly, if we identified a piece of property that had an intrinsic value for any given use, we could potentially not put it up for bid and identify it for that use. So that's, it's a conversation we've long talked about. Yeah.
And I know we have this draft policy, and I will say generally the middle of March is when that list is established. Like I said, the list we provided
is
over 700 to 1,000.
Yeah.
It'll dwindle down to about 200 by the time the middle of March comes. So I think that's when you do sit down and review those properties.
We probably won't.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
It's in your purview to kind of codify that policy, but I will say that all of the properties go to Amanda to make sure that she reviews them to see if they're suitable for solar fields or other things, and they also go to Dennis to look at for affordable housing and other development type.
But it just, again, for me personally, this is the year to make this happen, because we have talked about it for a long time, and it's something that should live beyond an individual administration or individual people. I appreciate that you're doing a great job at it, but we should codify it finally. So
okay.
Something we'll work on together.
Okay. Ken?
And one thing to remember is that most of these parcels are either single-family homes or landlocked, unusable parcels.
Oh, yeah. I will say the 200 list or so, probably half of them are from prior auctions.
Mm-hmm. Like, right now...
Where I'm selling for $50. Just
I think that we're up to, like, $600,000 that the junkyard owes in Shangam, because we just won't take title because it's too messy.
Yeah.
Herb?
I think we already do that as individual legislators in our district. Last year, we took one off the tax rolls. It was a house that was impairing vision on an intersecting road. We had a county project we put up to realign the road. So we took that project off the books, demolished the house, turned the property over to the town for a parking lot. But I think that goes on an everyday basis.
Okay. All right, Resolution 58, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into agreement with the Village of Ellenville, New Paltz, Saugerty, is relating to the enforcement of real property tax liens under Article 11, Section 1102, 1110, and 1150 of the New York State Real Property Tax Law. Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Sorry, I thought Eve had said she had a question on this earlier. So
no, she combined it. She combined it. Resolution 59, establishing capital project number 564, purchase and implementation of a real property tax collection and delinquency enforcement system.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? Trace?
So there's no real backup for this one?
And I should have provided. I will let you know that the system that we have in place, and it's really because of the system we have in place, is created in 1984. Mm-hmm. It's homegrown. So we're relying on our IT department to keep it up, make upgrades when it comes to the tax law. I will say this is probably the last major application that IS has on their AS400 mainframe. Mm-hmm. So getting it off will save us costs from the maintenance of those mainframes. It will also allow me to use the financial system to have this information in the financial system rather than me entering it twice. Right now, I'm entering the receipt in the financial system and then the unpaid tax system, the homegrown, that too. So it's a duplication of entry in my own department. It also, I'm hoping it will allow taxpayers to pay online, which is a good thing. We've had a couple of demos come in, and this will be a good thing for the taxpayers. I will say there may be times where I have to take it down, especially at auction, because I don't know that person's behind that credit card.
which could put us at risk legally. People do desperate things in desperate times. So I'll work with the county attorney's office on that too. But having that ability to pay online is a good thing.
Heidi?
I don't know if I missed this, mm-hmm. but will other municipalities be able to access this?
Because they're only collecting
their
current tax.
Yeah.
And I'm the kind of delinquent tax collector. The two won't be in sync because I also have school taxes I'm collecting as well in terms of the delinquency.
Cap ultimately would be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lofty goal.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Trace?
Because the backup's not there, do you know, so this 575 is for the software. Do you know what the annual...
we've had a couple demos and asked. It was under 50 in terms of the maintenance of it.
Okay. And it's
just for the two... we've only had two or three demos, and I don't think there's many vendors out there because New York State tax law is not easy. Not many counties have tax systems. They're all homegrown.
And this is both for property tax collection and for the delinquency?
Well, it's for delinquency tax, because that's what we do.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I mean, I just have notes.
Oh, you just have notes?
Yeah.
So how are you coming up with this estimate?
It was just based on some estimates from vendors, because I have to go out for an RFP now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Resolution 62, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county family of Woodstock.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 63, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000, family of Woodstock.
I'll move it.
Second.
Opposed? Oh, sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry.
I'm switching up.
And you're all awake. Thank you.
Nobody said aye.
Okay. We do have an all in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. Resolution 64, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000. Space Saver Systems, Inc., doing business as InfoLink System Solutions.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Any questions?
Yeah. Eve? What is this for?
This is the physical records management system. So the hall records, basically, you know, you have a file number, and in order to retrieve the records, it's the database that the clerk uses to manage the records that are over there in the hall records.
Does it speak at all to this other half?
No, this is just documents. This isn't
just records management.
Yeah,
right.
Records
but
management.
Some of those records
tax
are
records are over
the
there.
Same
yes.
records.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering if they communicate to each other at all. They're just completely separate. It's just an electronic storage of records.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 66, approving the execution of contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county family of Woodstock.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 67, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50.
Bonadio,
thank you. And company LLP?
Move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 68, contract in excess of 50, Southeast Plumbing Corp.
Motion. Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No. I was before you started reading the next one, I had a motion to block several resolutions together.
Go ahead. Which ones?
69 through 76. They all look like paving contractors to me.
Yeah.
And the projects were just
hot, cold.
Exactly. You know, I just think we should block them together and vote on them as one rather than doing this.
And you want to leave 77 separate so I can ask about
absolutely.
Okay.
I know it's coming.
I'm not going to.
Wait, you can read her mind.
Every single year since we've been contracting with the Seneca Paving markings, Tracy has
so
asked about buying our own marking machine.
So this is resolution 69, block motion of block 69 through 76. All in favor?
Aye.
On the block.
On the block.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Okay. Resolution 77, approving a contract in excess of 50 with Seneca Pavement Marking, Inc.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
I actually wasn't going to ask a question. I think it's funny.
He gave you the opportunity. All in favor? Opposed. Okay. Resolution 78, approving a contract in excess of 50 for LW Tree Service, Inc.
Move it.
Second.
Any questions?
This is the ash borers?
Yeah, hazardous trees, but many of them are ash, and then it gives us the opportunity to remove other hazardous trees as well, which may be trees overhanging county roads.
How are we doing with that battle?
We removed about 700 ash trees last year.
Yeah, I mean, the battle is spreading. Right? Yeah, it was at one point more north, and now it's kind of all throughout the county. So we're losing the battle, but every year we get as many.
On the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 79, contract in excess of 50 entered into by the county with Creighton Manning Engineer LLP.
I'll move it.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 80, contract in excess of 50 with New York Communication Company, Inc. for the sheriffs.
I'll move it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution 81, approving a contract in excess of 50,000 with Morpho Trust USA, Inc. with the sheriff's office.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, Tracy, you have a question?
So, I mean, the sheriff's not here, but this is, I was curious, first of all, what this does, what this live scanner thing does, but it looks like we're increasing the rate by 3 times, roughly. We know why there's the change, such a drastic change in the fee.
Ken?
I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think that this was intended to replace the intensive searches of the inmates when they come back from like meetings with family and whatnot, when they come back from visits, and then they walk through this machine rather than, unless they are caught trafficking something, at which point they no longer have that privilege. Yeah. That was what I remember the sheriff telling us about.
It's less invasive.
But in lieu of cavity searches, I guess?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, unless there's cause for...
You still get searched when you are at intake.
Okay.
It's a full search at intake, but I believe that this is for when they're coming back from from visits and things like that.
While they're in the facility.
So the reason it's higher is because it's using less intrusive technology, it's different hardware than in the prior amendments.
It is different hardware. It's not this really
new device.
I mean, we've had the it's a renewal.
Same company.
We've had the same company since 18. It looks like it's just me. It looks just like it's the same.
Craig, do you have some value here?
Yeah, I think it has to do with fingerprinting as well. I mean,
that's what I thought this was.
That's in here. Fingerprints.
The live scan is what the village has for fingerprinting software.
But I have to say, I mean, the all of this stuff we're talking about is in here dated 2018. So I'm not sure that it's anything new. I feel like it just
seems...
You
want to postpone it
can
so
we?
You can ask
the sheriff? Yeah, can we? And I'll reach out to the sheriff.
So can I have a motion to postpone?
I'll make that motion.
Second? All right. All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 82, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county trustees of Columbia University in the city of New York.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Trace?
Do we have any update? We've already been in contract on this study, correct?
Right.
And we would. So, do we have any update on their findings, or where are they at in their study?
They're at the beginning implementation of the study. I mean, this money here is for hiring staff. We're bringing on a data surveillance person and a project manager. But as far as the study, has nothing to report back to. We basically had, I think. It's like water. It's the second meeting of the study, but
third. But I agree, and especially because it's to hire the data person who's supposed to be gathering the data that we know. But I don't think it hurts to maybe ask of them
or maybe they already have with you when they think what's their data rollout plan, so that we do know when they expect to give us different types of reports. I mean, I'm assuming there'll be several, but right, until they hire this person, they can't actually start cleaning the data.
Right. We've hired the data surveillance person. It's a county employee.
Oh, you have?
Yes. She started yesterday.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay. I feel like I heard
about
this so long ago.
Their project manager has not been brought on board.
We did, yeah. And I don't know that we anticipated building this unit, did we?
For the grant? It's a three-year grant. So it's in the budget. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, but these positions were positions in the budget.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 83, approving a contract in excess of 50 entered into by the county with Pitney Bowes. Move?
Moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Anybody have any new or old business they'd like to bring forward?
Adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.